Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and we're going to be talking in this segment about the Pilgrim River Watershed Project. And the reason why we use this as a subject for Copper Country Today is recently I did a news story when I got a new press release from the DNR about this. And I got together with Evan McDonald from the Keweenaw Land Trust, and we took a ride out to the, or at least a part of where the Pilgrim River Project is. And as we got talking, I realized there was a lot more going on here than what I could fit in a 75-second news story. And I thought it would be interesting for the audience to be able to hear about this, you know, how the whole project got started and how it developed over a period of time and what it means for the public. So joining me in studio right now, I have Lori Hawsworth from the Keweenaw Trails Alliance, Bill Letter from Copper Country Trout Unlimited, and Evan McDonald from the Keweenaw Land Trust. And on the phone right now is Joe Hovel. He is the landowner. Joe, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Rick.
Now let's go ahead and start with you, Joe. In, you know, this was your property. Tell us just about how expansive this area is.
Well, our interest on the Pilgrim River property is it's significant, and it's a pretty special family ownership. It's a diverse stand of timber, and it was also very attractive to us as an initial purchase because it offered the conservation mandate that we've all worked on together for all these years, and we're all really grateful it's finally coming to fruition here. My interest has been, for most of my adult life, in land conservation. I sort of had a calling to it. Land conservation is social justice for the future in my mind, and our investment in land today can provide future generations a better way of life with food, fiber, recreation, etc. So I've also been very involved in sustainable forestry and chair a sustainable forestry co-op here, and I've always felt that sustainable forestry without land conservation is not long sustainable. I've seen way too often where somebody can practice excellent forestry but only have it go down the tubes if the land is fragmented or developed, for example. The easement itself is an attractive thing for us as landowners, because I don't view the easement possibility as a detriment to us or to future owners, but as a benefit. With the development rights disposed of, landowners will be able to focus on the real, true benefits of land ownership, like growing timber and all the other social and intrinsic benefits that a landowner can get from his land. And I've long been motivated to invest in conservation. Back in 1990, my wife and I invested in a 1,130-acre parcel just below the border with the UP. And at that time, that parcel was offered to the state of Wisconsin, who was unable to purchase it. Today, that investment is part of the Northern Highland American Legion State Forest in the state of Wisconsin, and has led to more than 3,500 acres of protected land, along with this and several other transactions that we've been involved with that have spiraled off of that. So I've also networked through my conservation efforts with other landowners to protect over 2,000 acres of land in the Border Lakes region down here along the state border. So I've been real happy to work with Bill and Evan and all the other partners up there. It's truly been a real pleasant experience.
Joe, let me ask you: prior to this project getting going, did you have any reservations about people using the property for, you know, for their fishing, their hiking, their recreation?
Oh, I've gotten over that decades ago. I've looked at some landowners look at other people using their land, and I don't look at it that way. I look at user groups as being potential friends And without friends, who's going to help you take care of it? You know, like, I'm confident that we have got friends to count on at a time when we maybe need some help controlling an invasive species or possibly tree planting and things like that. So I've gotten past that decades ago. I don't look at people using the land as users. I look at them as friends.
Well, let's talk to some of those friends right now. And then hopefully, Joe, you're able to hear everything as we're, you know, pumping through the system here. Let's start with Bill. Bill, from what I heard, it was that the Trout Unlimited was, you know, you were investing into the area, you were using the river for fishing and doing a lot, and that's when you realized there might be a concern that, you know, there was no guarantee that it could last forever.
That's really true, Rick. You know, our involvement in the Pilgrim River watershed and the river itself goes back to the late 1990s with habitat improvement projects for trout in the river. And, you know, as it became apparent that the ownership of the land was going to change hands, we started thinking and, you know, partnering with other conservation organizations about, you know, how can we maintain public access, you know, for defined recreational uses into the future, because this this resource is so close to Houghton. And it's such a beautiful natural area that we wanted to preserve it. And from a fishing standpoint also, we wanted, you know, to protect the watershed, because that's one of the factors that leads to a healthy river.
And what steps did you take to sort of get the ball rolling?
It was when the ownership of the land changed to the Hovels that Copper Country Chapter of Trout Unlimited realized that even though, you know, there were great opportunities for grants, we were going to have a local fundraising effort. So our organization has been spearheading fundraising on the local level going back to 2009. You know, we've been raising the local funds and you know, they're on deposit at Superior National Bank, so that money's in the local area, and now it's available as matching funds for some of the grants that the Keweenaw Land Trust has led the effort on in terms of the applications, preparing the grant materials and the applications. And then, you know, we expanded because we realized that it's more than just about fishing. So, you know, we have a number of conservation partners, including the Keweenaw Trails Alliance and others that we've been working with.
Evan, with the Keweenaw Land Trust now, as you started to assess what needed to be done, how was the reaction as you approached other partners to be able to help out with this?
I think a lot of people already had some awareness of the Pilgrim River Valley and what a special area this was. We heard reports from hunters and anglers and hikers and so forth that it was a great area and worth looking into. So once we put out the call, essentially, through our network of partner organizations, the response was very dramatic and very strong very quickly. So about, 4 or 5 years ago now, when we formalized our fundraising program, the support came in.
And Lori, with the Copper Country, the Keweenaw Trails Alliance, what's the interest in your organization for preserving this area?
With the Keweenaw Trails Alliance, really, it's about getting people out to engage with the land by building single track trails that allow people to access these resources. It really it helps build community and provides outdoor recreation to people right near Houghton, and I think that's the hugest benefit of the project. It's so accessible to so many people.
How many trails are in there? What's the length of them?
So there's about 6 miles of single track, and I'm not sure how many miles of forest road existing.
3 or 4 miles of forest roads, I would imagine.
Okay. And is it all non-motorized, or is there a mix for use?
You know, that's a good question. I would say there's been some motorized use, but for recreation purposes, it's been non-motorized. What we have to think about is this is a managed forest, and so they're growing trees there for harvest. And the landowner, Joe, can speak to this directly, but they have to keep an eye out for their crop. And so motorized use often causes problems with forestry. And so it's more compatible to have what we call low impact recreation uses. So snowshoeing, skiing, hiking, mountain biking, that sort of thing is quite compatible with forestry. And I think that's Joe's intent to maintain that type of use. But I guess I would let Joe speak to that directly.
Joe, did you get that?
Yes, I did. And I would agree with Evan. But, you know, that's not to say that as we are part of an aging population that if somebody needs a special permission to, let's say, get his deer, for example, that he is hunting, things like that. But I would never, ever look for myself or any future landowner to see that sort of special habitat developed into an ATV trail, for example. That I don't think would ever happen.
Evan, as you sort of got this going, what needed to be done? How could you preserve this area for the recreation use?
Well, I have to give a lot of credit to Trout Unlimited because they did a lot of the homework to look at what options might be possible. So for a project of this scope where there's going to be a pretty significant public benefit, there are some established grant programs. So within Michigan, we have the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund program, which was a candidate for funding. And then at the federal level, with this being a managed forest area, the Forest Legacy Program is a good fit. And after a few cycles of developing draft proposals and continuing to build the partnership and getting more input on the values, what's worth protecting in this area, when you start to make that case, it becomes pretty clear what your best bet is for a program. And Forest Legacy, after a couple of tries, they agreed. It ranked competitively, was 19th in the nation the year it was selected for funding. And so in a competitive program where they're weighing all the values, the recreation benefits, the quality of the timber production, the economic impact, the scenic qualities, a whole diversity of things get looked at, this was a very strong project.
Now, one of the things we couldn't go into depth on in the news story that I found was very interesting and certainly educational was what the Forestry Legacy Program was and what made it a perfect fit for this project. Here's a good chance to talk about it.
Yeah, so in this country, much of the forested landscape is actually privately owned lands. And in Michigan, we know that quite well. We have what's known as the Michigan Commercial Forest Program. That program, when lands are enrolled, the landowner gets a tax break. They're required to keep their forest land in production, so they have harvests, and that supports the forest economy, which is a good thing. And they have to allow public access for hunting and fishing. So the public gains in a couple of different ways when lands are enrolled in the commercial forest program. But that's a voluntary program, and it's not permanent. So the landowner can withdraw their property and close it off to the public or change to non-forest uses, development or mining or, you know, any other purpose that they could accommodate on their property. So the Forest Legacy Program at the national level recognizes the importance of private lands for forestry in the country, both the economic as well as the conservation, the natural resource benefits to wildlife and clean air and water, and the recreation benefits and so forth. This is an investment to be able to maintain those private managed forest lands and then get that full suite of public benefits secured permanently. And so the funding comes from a larger program called the Land and Water Conservation Fund. And that program's been around for several decades and funds a variety of programs and national programs in the country, including Park Service and Bureau of Land Management. But the Forest Legacy under the U.S. Forest Service is one of the main programs. And this is, I believe, the first project, Forest Legacy project in Houghton County. So that's it's significant in that way. And we're just thrilled to have the opportunity.
Now, the grant, if I remember my figures correctly, was $550,000. And as our conversation, as we were discussing, you know, immediately someone may hear this and think that it's, you know, basically the government using taxpayer money to buy land. And that would be a misnomer and something that's probably worth clearing up.
Yeah, the federal program, Land and Water Conservation Fund, is fairly similar to how the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund works. So in our state, we have a fund that's dedicated. It's protected by the state constitution, what it's to be used for. And so mineral and gas leases on state-owned lands in Michigan, those revenues go into the trust fund, and then those support natural resource and recreation projects that benefit the citizens of Michigan. So it's kind of it's giving back from the public trust benefit of those shared natural resources, the revenues the state gains, give something back to the public in terms of permanent recreation and permanent public access. So at the federal level, we have offshore oil and gas leases that the federal government generates revenue from, and by law, by congressional action, this Land and Water Conservation Fund was established, and those revenues go into that fund, and then there's annual appropriations to support projects that go through this competitive process that I described, like Forest Legacy and others. So projects that have merit, you know, that are solid on public benefit and benefits to natural resources, can get funding, partial funding. Actually, it's not 100%, it's partial funding to support those projects. And just like our state trust fund, we have to come up with local match to cover the balance of the project costs. And that's where the help from Trout Unlimited and the other project partners, Copper Country Audubon, and so many others, helping us raise money. We've got that pot that serves as the matching funds for the Forest Legacy grant.
How big is the project? I mean, area-wise, what are we looking at as far as, you know, a portion of the Keweenaw Peninsula?
It's a pretty good chunk of the Pilgrim River watershed. So the whole watershed, I think, is about 15,000 acres. Is that right? And this project is looking at 1,500 acres or so total. So we should let folks know that this is we're midway in the project now. Since we've got the funding, we can go ahead with the next formal steps. So we have to get appraisals of the property. We have to get purchase agreements by the landowners involved, and the state has to sign off on this as well, since they're actually the grant recipient. And so there's legal steps that have to happen, and this is all based on fair market value. The $550,000 is the federal portion of the grant, and that's going to be purchasing what's called a working forest conservation easement. It's a kind of agreement between the landowner and, in this case, the state of Michigan, whereby the landowner will be agreeing to keep it in forest management and to allow permanent access for the described public recreation uses.
Oh, I'd just like to add to what Evan said, that you know, under this arrangement, the land will stay on the tax rolls because the Hovell family will continue to be the what we call the fee simple owners of the property. They're conveying an easement, so they're giving up development rights, but they still own the land and it's still on the tax rolls. And also the sustainable timber harvests, you know, will contribute to taxes. So it's kind of a win-win situation in that regard for everybody.
Yeah, it's a perfect way, I think, to describe it, because I'm sitting here, you know, as a moderator trying to think of, you know, well, what could be the, you know, the any kind of negative at all. Well, you have a landowner who is benefiting from this. You've got land that is being, you know, at least partially set aside for the public use. Of course, you know, conservation and enjoyment for recreation. It's not an area we'd want to see developed anyways. I don't want to see a parking lot anywhere near, you know, the Pilgrim River watershed. So it's just sounded like it is something that, you know, should be applauded by everyone.
Well, and I think there's, I don't think it's a loss in terms of development, because there's, you know, a lot of other land along transportation corridors, which, you know, is very suitable for development, and there's a lot of land available for that purpose. So I think it's a win for everybody.
Now, who's going to manage and look after this area, I guess, you know, to keep it clean, to keep it open, any kind of work like that would be done?
Well, these projects really rest on partnership, depend on that heavily. And so the state is the grant recipient, but they can't be out policing every property that the Forest Legacy Program has enrolled. And so they were looking to our local partnership as an ally in this effort. And so that's why having the Trails Group that will look after trails development and stewardship, and having Trout Unlimited that's going to continue to look after the habitats that benefit trout. And we hope to involve the local sportsmen's clubs that might have an interest in hunting and safe use of the property for those purposes. So we're all going to be pitching in essentially to keep an eye on this property, but it really does require a sense of community ownership and shared responsibility for a resource like this. The program looks to that, so they don't just accept an application. They wanted to see a really tall stack of letters from support organizations saying, we want this to happen and we're committed to support it. And so that's why we were able to put together a strong project built on partnership to accomplish this.
Joe, let me ask you, if there comes a time that you do want to sell this property or somebody down the line wants to sell this property, does this in any way sort of devalue it in that maybe somebody would want to come in, a developer, and pay a boatload of money for it, but now they say, oh, well, this is protected, so I'm going to, look somewhere else. Does that play into your decision at all?
Well, I kind of alluded to that when I said that in my mind the easement is not a detriment to future owners, but it could actually be a benefit. So when you take in the consideration of what you just said, yes, the land has a different value after the easement is in place, because a lot of these rights are disposed of with the sale of the easement. Easements are a document that can be drafted to the likings of both parties, and this easement is going to include the public access rights that Evan alluded to there, and it's going to basically disposing of the development rights and the rights to fragment the land and so on. So if we look at property ownership as a bundle of rights, and you could take a number of them being mineral rights and the right to develop and the right to post the public off and the right to raise timber and the right to do whatever else, well, many of these rights are going to be gone, so that's no longer relevant. But in my mind, the easement has simplified the landowner relationship with the land. In other words, the landowner can now focus on growing timber and the other important benefits of owning land without the distraction that one may constantly be encroached on from developers or other speculators. So, yes, the land is a different situation after the easement's on it. It's the whole parcel acreage-wise, but it's not the whole package of land rights any longer. In other words, those after this easement will be in other hands.
Now, with timber harvest continuing, and anybody can kind of answer this question if they know the answer, is there any concern with the timber harvest continuing while the public is having the access to the property?
There has to be.
In other areas where there's shared access, recreational and forestry going on, a lot of times it's just a matter of closing certain corridors to protect the users while the timbering's going on, and I would imagine we'll have a similar scenario with this property.
Joe, do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. That was well said.
Okay, you said it was well said. I know there's some legal hoops still to jump through, but there's a nice big sign out there where Evan took me is onto the an entryway to part of the project. What needs to still happen, if anything, for the public to be able to start enjoying, the Pilgrim River watershed?
Well, the Hubble family has been wonderful about welcoming folks on there now, even without the project status. So they encourage people to get to know this property in the hopes that it would support their interest and desire to see it protected, and I think that's paid off. So there's many opportunities for people to get involved. We'd like to see it used as an outdoor learning space, essentially an outdoor classroom, so K-12 programs and maybe even university research projects. I know that Joe is keen on seeing silvicultural forest management practices improved, and so maybe his property can be a research laboratory in that way, and maybe TU's got some ideas for trout habitat.
Yeah, we have a permit from the Department of Environmental Quality to do habitat restoration in the river, and having the public access enables us to get to parts of the river that otherwise we might not be able to improve the habitat for trout. I know the Michigan Tech Running Club uses the trails. They were very helpful in helping to do some supplemental trail clearing last year after we had a big windstorm. So I think that's a perfect example of the kind of community spirit that we have here that you know, helps to make a project like this so successful from a personal standpoint. I'm looking forward to the end of April because that's when trout fishing season opens, and I'll be out there.
And I can grab my pole and go out there and fish too.
You sure can.
Can't wait. Thanks, everybody, so much for coming in. Joe, thank you for hanging in on the line there and offering your insight.
It was a great program, Rick. I appreciate being part of it.
You're welcome. Lori, Bill, and Evan, thank you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.